tonight, I want to deal with a subject that I think is, again, one of the biggest issues in the church today. And yet, it seems to get a lot of talk, but not a lot of change. And so tonight, the title of this message, and remember, we're talking about things that derail your lives, or that derail lives. And so tonight, I'm going to talk about, and this is the title of the message, "There is absolutely no way I will forgive them for what they've done to me." There's absolutely no way I will forgive them for what they have done to me. So let's take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And let's stand together as we read out of respect to God and His Word. Tonight we're going to be dealing with forgiveness. There's absolutely no way I forgive them for what they have done to me. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. We'll start with verse 16. And it says, "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." Now watch the verse. "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity that we have to present your word. And we pray now that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. I pray, God, that you will cleanse us from all sin and all unrighteousness. And God, I submit myself to you right now. I pray that my mind and my heart will be yours. God, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will be here tonight. I pray, God, that you'll encourage us in your word. I pray if there's a person here tonight who's unsaved, that they might be saved. I pray also, Lord, if there are people here tonight that are out of fellowship with you, Lord, that they might have their fellowship restored tonight. And God, I pray if there's special needs in the auditorium tonight, God, that the hearts will be open. And Lord, each person, that their heart would be open to hear from you and let you work in their life. God, I pray now, you'll guide us, you'll direct us, you'll help us, you'll encourage us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for all that's done here. We ask for your guidance and direction in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, forgiveness. And you know, I think that I have lost count how many times I've heard, "There's absolutely no way I will forgive them for what they have done to me." And today we're going to cover an important subject that so many Christians struggle with, and it's forgiveness. And many people make a mess out of their lives because of a lack of forgiveness. And this is a subject that is one of the hardest to deal with when you have a counselee who has been really hurt or perceived that they've been hurt. Now, in many people's lives, perception is reality, okay, that they've been hurt or they perceive that they have been hurt. I was reminded of this recently as I was dealing with a person regarding forgiveness and thought about another situation several years back. Kim and I were dealing with a couple many years ago, both Bible college graduates, it was leaders in a church, pastor and his wife. Now, Kim and I always do marriage counseling together. We have found that the woman in a marriage counseling situation can feel intimidated by being in the room with two men. And so Kim's woman's perspective and expertise are a great help. And she adds a whole lot to what goes on. Now, this couple's marriage was in severe turmoil. Remember, I said they were leaders in a church. And as our session started, I asked the wife to tell me what she thought the problem was. And she looked at me, then looked at her husband, and then back to me, and then looked right back at her husband and stated, looked him in the face and said, "I detest you. I'm scared to death of you. The children are afraid of you. You scream, you yell at us, and I will never forgive you for what you have done to us." Whoa. That didn't give you much to work with there, did it? Wow. And I have to admit, I mean, I think that she took Kim and me back a little bit with that outburst. And not much to work with there. And it sounded like she was definite and final. However, like so many people involved in performance-based, doer mentality Christianity, they're seeking to live their Christian life in the power of the flesh, and they were out of fellowship with God, with disastrous results. And they have no clue about having a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God and what being a spirit-controlled Christian is about, so their lives can get to this awful point. However, when they do learn these things and how to deal with them and work with them, learn how to have a real relationship with God, their lives can dramatically change, and it can dramatically change quickly. Now, listen to me carefully. Every man and woman will give account of themselves to God. Everyone in this room is going to give an account of themselves to God. Today, there's so much strife in the church and home because of saved people out of fellowship with God who are not spirit-controlled, and people who live in strife and are angry people. Now, many times they're having and producing strife in their lives because they are angry, because of a hurt in their life from another person or situation, and they've never learned how to forgive. Did you hear me? They have never learned how to forgive. Now, I want you to turn back in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Now, anger always goes along with this, okay? And anger plays a big issue in it. Do you know that anger is a sin that is many times hidden? You know, I say that it is the hidden sin of independent Baptists. Now, you may come here to church and you're all hunky-dory with each other. But you go home and it's World War III. You know, I've had people who have, in my first church, and I hadn't been to ministry less than a year. In my first church, I got called out to the we were in Appalachian. It was a trailer. Got called out to a trailer at 3:00 in the morning. I got out there, and did you go with me? You didn't go with me on that because we had babies, right? And so I'm heading up to the trailer, and there was yelling and screaming and ranting and raving and things being broke and all kinds of things. And I'm thinking, oh boy, this is going to be fun here. And so I knocked on the door, and everything stopped. I said, "Hey, it's Pastor Coomer." And so I walked in, and man, this place looked like, you know, a war zone. Stuff broke, you know. So I looked over at him, and he had a bloody nose. And I said, "Hold it. Now, right now, just hold it. You get over here, and you get over here." And so I looked at him, and I said, "What happened to you?" And he said, "She hit me." And I looked over at him, and I said, "Did you hit him?" She says, "Yes, and I'm going to hit him again." And I said, "Now just stay over there, okay?" And she says, "Well, he said this and this and this to me, and he hit me. So I hit him back." I think she could have taken him, and he was a Vietnam War vet. Okay, I mean, they were really going at it. So how does people's lives get to that point? How does it get to that point? It's because of the fact that we are out of fellowship with God, we're angry people, and we treat each other disrespectfully. You know, and whenever people start yelling and screaming at each other, all the bars come off the windows. In essence, so one person says, "You can't say that to me." And so the bars come off the windows and everybody says whatever they want. And hurts happen. Big time hurts. And so I always tell the marriage counselees that, hey, you know what you're doing here? Every time one of those things happen, you're building a wall. Bricks are going on that wall. And pretty soon you're not going to get over that wall. Not going to be able to do it. Now, I want you to look at this verse with me, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 18, and notice what the Bible says. A wrathful man stirreth up what, folks? Strife. But he that is slow to anger, what? Appeaseth strife. Now, a wrathful man. Wrathful means anger with a strong desire to avenge. In essence, I got to get back at that person for what they have done to me. And I will do whatever I need to do to get back at them. Now, I want you to understand, wrath is anger with a strong desire to avenge and to get back at somebody. Every person will give an account of themselves to God in this matter. Now, let me encourage you to realize this. We should always do right before God, no matter what anybody else does. Amen? We should always do right before God, no matter what anybody else does. We do not have to compromise our life because someone else does. Now, people come into marriage with preconceived ideas. So there are some people in this room been married a while. Kim and I are not the oldest married couple here. Close, but not. But you know, people come into this with preconceived ideas. You know, they think that it's going to be lollipops and rainbows. You know, all the time. And a good marriage is worked at. It doesn't just happen. You know, we're going to have the white picket fence and, you know, the lollipops are going to be out and the rainbows are going to be out. No, until wham. What do you mean, woman? Now, one of the things that don't call your wife woman. Now, guys, that you're just heading in the wrong direction with that. Now, I know that many will say your choices will determine what happens and your character is important. And I agree with that. But I'll add to it this. Ephesians 5 describes a true biblical marriage as two saved, spirit-controlled people. And if you're out of fellowship with God and not a spirit-controlled person, you're going to fail, and especially in making decisions. You're going to fail, especially in making decisions. Your character, listen to me, your character is going to be formed by your spirit-controlled life, not just by focusing on trying to do right in the flesh. Now, did you hear me? Your character will be formed by your spirit-controlled life, not by just focusing on trying to do right in the flesh. Or to have good character in the flesh. You know, therefore, it's especially important that we teach our children what it means and how to be a spirit-controlled person before they leave our home. And by the way, that's what Proverbs 22:6 is talking about. Listen carefully to me. I want you to listen to the statement. Folks, we are powerless when we're divided. We're powerless when we're divided. We're powerless when we hold a grudge against other people. We're powerless when we're angry at God and divided from Him. I want to say that all again. We're powerless when we're divided. We're powerless when we hold a grudge against people, other people. We're powerless when we're angry at God and divided from Him. Now, let me encourage you. Learn to submit yourself to God and live beyond your feelings. Learn to submit yourself to God and live beyond your feelings. Now, I know I've explained this here before, but we got new people in here, and so I'm going to explain this now. Okay, man is a trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit. Now, God speaks to our spirit through the Holy Spirit. The devil works on our soul. He oppresses us. Now, if you're saved, he can't possess you. But you have to know that you're saved. There has to be a time in your life when you realize you're a sinner. Now, does everybody in this room agree we all sinned? Come short of the glory of God? There's none righteous, no, not one. Okay, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that's the reason why we needed a Savior. Jesus Christ came and died upon the cross for our sins, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. God wants us to have hope, joy, and peace. But how many Christians do you know that have hope, joy, and peace? Life is a wreck. Now, there has to be that moment in time. You know, there has to be that moment in time where you realize that you're a sinner. You realize you can't save yourself. You realize that Jesus Christ died for you and that you are willing to repent or turn from your sins and turn from yourself and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and be your Savior. Now, if you're in this room tonight and you have never done that, you need to, because without it, you're going to die and go to hell for all eternity. All eternity. Hell is a place that you're never going to get out of. It's not a place you go visit for the weekend, see if you like it or not. It's forever. You know, Mrs. Miller, you know the reason I got saved was because I didn't want to die and go to hell. There wasn't no future in it. And I remember in our bedroom, you know, big time baseball player. And here we had the house on the lake. We're 20 years old with a house on the lake, a sports car and a motorcycle. All from baseball money. And this United Parcel Service driver is witnessing to me every day. Every day. And so I woke up in the middle of the night. And I told Kim, I said, what would happen if I died tonight? Want to go to heaven or go to hell? Kim says, well, I don't know, she says. I think if you're a good person, you'd go to heaven. I think if you're a bad person, you'd go to hell. And so I figured that's where I knew where that left me. But she wasn't right about it. Because for all I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so I told her, I said, well, I don't know if I died tonight where I go, but I'm going to find out tomorrow. And so when Rick Bratcher, that UPS driver, came in that day, I said, Rick, I got a question for you. I said, what would happen to me if I died tonight? And he said, he just started to cry. He said, man, I've been waiting for this day, praying for it. He said, you don't have to go to hell. He said, you can be saved tonight, right now. But he said, why don't you come to my house tonight? Have my pastor there. And he'll show you how you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you died, you'd go to heaven. And that night in Rick Bratcher's family room, I bowed my head and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Savior, and it immediately changed my life. Amen?
Amen.
Immediately. I went back home, and I'm not going to get into all of that, but I went back home and told Kim. I thought she'd be really excited. She'd be excited I got saved. She wasn't. You get down there, there's religious fanatics, they'll tear you up. And so you've heard about heaven and hell and a house. For 3 weeks, it was like that. But she didn't want no part of it. Amazing. But 3 weeks later, on a Wednesday night, little storefront church, Pastor Jess Stone, she walked up after the service and said, "My husband says he's saved. He's really changed." She said, "Can you tell me how to get saved?" Little old storefront building where he's just starting a church. Kim used to go in there when she was a child to get popcorn and candy and soft drinks. She bowed her head right there. Asked Jesus to come into her heart and be her Savior. And it started us on a journey. You know, we have been blessed. God has blessed. You know, we've led our parents both sets to the Lord. We've led our grandparents to the Lord, both sides. They're all in heaven now. And I can rejoice in that. We've been blessed. And you know, we're powerless when we're divided. And I want you to get now. You got to learn to submit to God and live beyond your feelings. Because Satan is going to try to, you know, if you're out of fellowship with God, you're leaving the portal open, and he's going to deal with your soul. Satan is. And your soul is where the seat of your appetites are, your emotions. So Satan is always going to try to deal with your emotions. He's going to try to get you upset. And if you don't know how to respond, you're going to get upset if you don't learn how to handle these things by submitting yourself to God immediately, like I've talked about ad infinitum here. Instead of letting you blow up, fight, be mad, put bricks on the wall, and go nutsoid, for lack of a better word. So, Hanny, or you know how to spell that? Nutsoid. Okay, so you know what? Live beyond your feelings and be focused on forgiveness in your life rather than bitterness. Be the person who is encouraging your spouse or others, help them and pray for them, and you cannot do that if you have unforgiveness in your heart. Amen? You're not going to be encouraging anybody if you have unforgiveness in your heart. Turn back to James chapter 5. Now watch this passage. This is a very interesting passage. James chapter 5. James is Mr. Practical. James chapter 5 and verse 9. Notice what it says. Talking to Christians here. James chapter 5 verse 9. It says, "Grudge not one against another, brethren." Did you see it? "Grudge not one against another, brethren." And I can hear somebody now say, "But you don't know what they did to me." I understand. "But grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." Unless you're going to have judgment in your life. So if you're going to hold grudges against people, you're going to have judgment in your life. God's judgment. You say, but they did this and they did this and they did this and they did this and they did this. I understand. But with a lot of people, perception is reality too. So if you walk by and say hi, they think that you've offended them. So the point being here is this. Remember that we saw already that God wants us to have three things: hope, joy, and peace. Now, without peace, we have no power. Nothing ever works if everybody's angry at everybody all the time. Gossiping, saying hateful and hurtful things. Let me put it to you this way. We cannot fake that we love others. We will not have peace if we're holding grudges against people. It doesn't work. Now listen to me. Many will not forgive because they think what someone else did is not fair. In our society, the word fair is a big deal. Well, it wasn't fair what they did. You know, it's just not fair. Well, you can run fairness all the way down the highway and be out of fellowship with God. And you can be the person who's hindering somebody from getting saved. You can be the person from hindering somebody who is not going to walk with God. You know, in the ministry that we're in, you can put your heart and soul into some people. And the moment something happens, they go back the way that they made life work. One moment they love you, the next moment the knife is not big enough for your back. So if you're going to let that bother you, and you're going to let that control you, then you're going to hold grudges against people. And God said, don't do that. Grudge not one against another, brethren. Now, Dr. Coomer, but, you know, they live like the devil. I understand that. But I'm just going to tell you this. The person that hurts you doesn't care. They're just going on their merry way, continuing to hurt you and other people. So if you're going to hold a grudge against them, you're the one that's going to lose here. Amen? You're the one that's going to lose here. And the reality of this is this. And I'm going to show you exactly how to do it. You know, when you let your mind run, you get yourself all worked up. In essence, you let your mind go to the junkyard, and guess what? You're going to get all worked up. You're going to get all worked up about how, do you know what they did? Oh, man. You know, they did this, and they're scum of the earth. And they might be. But are you going to let them hold you in bondage for the rest of your life? You hear me? You going to let them hold you in bondage for the rest of your life? We encourage. But now many will not forgive because they think what someone else did is not fair. And we encourage our counselees to ask questions, right? Yes? Okay. Now, we encourage them to ask God three questions every day. So we're going to go over that again right now. Because one of the seven laws of teaching is repetition. Okay? So, anybody want to tell me what the first question is you're supposed to ask God every day, brother?
What sin in my life is standing in my way between me and my God?
Yes. All right. Is there any sin that stands between you and me, God? Show it to me. All right, what's the second one? Who said that? Yes. All right. Is there any hurt, okay, that I'm allowing to control me right now, whether that be circumstantial or a person? Okay. What's the third one? Anybody remember? Yes. Any bitterness in my heart. Now remember, bitterness is what kind of a sin? It's a root sin. When it gets a root in your heart, you know, and by the way, that can happen quickly. I have to make sure every day that there is no bitterness in my heart toward any person or any situation. And I have to ask God to forgive me for that bitterness. Ask Him to show it to me. Ask Him to forgive me of it. And then, because it is a root sin, it's in my heart, and God is the one that searches the heart, God the Holy Spirit, I'm going to have to ask Him to remove it from my heart. Now, that has to be done every day before you do anything else. Before you go opening your Bible and trying to read it. Because you're out of fellowship with God, you're not going to get nothing out of your Bible reading anyway. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, iniquity meaning sin, the Lord will not hear me. The Holy Spirit will be grieved and He won't help you. It's not going to help you. So you have to understand that. Now, you know, there are some things that people do to other people that are awful. They really are. But am I going to let that person control me the rest of my life? Am I going to let what they did control me? Am I going to be in bondage to them the rest of my life? You know, and I want you to listen to me. When we ask God for forgiveness in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If God can forgive us, why can't we forgive somebody else? Amen? I mean, look at the wickedness we've done before our holy God. So why can't we then forgive somebody else if our God will forgive us? God is faithful and just to forgive us when we sin and confess our sins to Him. Now listen, folks, if you don't forgive because you don't think it's fair, then you'll have an ugly spirit and you'll always be hurting others. Hurting people hurt others. It's one of the reasons why I say you got to ask God, is there any hurt in your life? Is there anything that you are allowing the hurt that's standing between you and God? So hurting people hurt others. Is there anything between you and another person? If so, who are you angry at? Ever ask yourself that question? You know, I've heard parents say, well, my lousy, stinking kids, all I've done for them, look what they've done. It's easy to justify a wrong spirit because you're convinced what they did was not fair. But you may be right. It might not be fair. But God wants us to live above that. Do you hear me? It may not be fair, but God wants you and me to live above it. He wants us to live above our emotions, not for them. And not live our life in our anger, hurt, and not fair mentality. That is a selfish, carnal mentality. It's a flesh-driven mentality. Now, Romans 12 has some exceptionally good admonishment about forgiveness. Turn back to Romans chapter 12, now where we started. Romans 12 and verse 9. Now, notice what it says here. Verse 9 and 10. Now, watch carefully. Romans 12, 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. Now, see that word dissimulation there, ladies and gentlemen? See it? It says, let love be without dissimulation. Well, here's what it means. It means concealment of one's thoughts, feelings, or character, a pretense. I want to say it again. Dissimulation here means concealment of one's thoughts, feelings, or character, a pretense. If I can love people with a right heart, then it's not dissimulation. In essence, I say I love them, but I'm concealing my thoughts of anger, wrath, gossip, and hatred about them. You do not tell someone you love them, and when they walk away, something cutting about them. It's a heart issue then. Do you see the word let at the start of this verse? Remember? Anybody remember when you see let at the start of the verse, what's it mean? Somebody's got to make a decision. And if you're reading it, you got to make it. Now, it means someone must make a decision. Did you notice loving one another in honor, preferring one another is a decision you make? I want to say it again. Did you notice that? Loving one another in honor, preferring one another is a decision you have to make. Forgiveness is a decision you have to make as well. Think about how much we mess up our lives by unforgiveness. Romans 12 is about serving the Lord. It also lets us know if you desire to walk with God and put yourself out there to serve and deal with people, you're going to get hurt. It tells us how to deal with the hurt. Do you know how many pastors and their wives that we have dealt with down through the years that want to get out of the ministry because they've been hurt? And those hurts go deep. And it makes them not to want to get closer to people. You know? But you know what? If you desire to walk with God and put yourself out there to serve and deal with people, you're going to get hurt. And it tells us how to deal with the hurt here. Pride makes us angry and bitter. And when we have either perceived hurts or real hurts, how dare he, she, or they do this to me? What do you do with them at this point? This point of impact is especially important. Look at verse 3, Romans 12. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Soberly. Pride causes us to not want to forgive. Pride makes us angry and bitter. You know, do you notice it says, now watch the verse. For I say, through the grace given unto me. Do you know that God's given me a lot of grace? He's given you a lot of grace. Divine help. He's given all of us in this room a lot of grace. For I say, through the grace given unto me. And notice what it says, not to think of yourself more highly than he ought to think. Now look at Proverbs. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 16 with me. Proverbs chapter 16. So when a person is unwilling to forgive, it's a pride issue. When people are unwilling to forgive, it is a pride issue. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and look at verse 17. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 17. Now, You know, there are some people that say, well, forgiveness means that you'll forget. No. Okay? There are some people that do evil. And you can forgive them, but you can get out of their way. Amen? Now, you know, sometimes that has to be that way. But I want you to understand this. Many times pride is the hindrance of me being willing to forgive somebody. Pride is the hindrance. Now watch what it says in verse 17. Proverbs 16, look at verse 17 with me. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Now notice it says here, the highway of the upright is to depart from what? Evil. And he that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Not giving Satan any portals. Okay, now, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride means, you know, look at me. Haughty means I don't think much of you. Verse 19 says, better is it to be of what kind of a spirit, folks? Humble spirit. With the lowly, than divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth the matter, now watch this. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. Say it again. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in themselves. So it says, whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Now, that's going to take us in a spot here in just a second. In any relationship, know that there are days that I'm going to get hurt or perceive that I am. Folks, the people around you have a fallen nature. This whole world is messed up because of sin. It's broken because of sin. And they're not perfect. I read this one time and I thought, well, this is good. I read where someone said, perfect has not shown up yet. When it does, it'll be Jesus. So if you expect perfect out of people, you'll always live a life of defeat, discouragement, despair, hatred, and unforgiveness. How can you tell if you're living in unforgiveness? Now we're going to get right down where the rubber meets the trail, the road. How can you tell if you're living in unforgiveness? What do you think about when someone says their name? The person that hurts you. Or says something nice about them. You know, well, you don't really know them. And then they go on to tell you all the bad things, right? Or what they think is bad things. And remember this when we talked about gossip the other night. Okay. Or you say something good about them, then here is that dreaded word, but. Well, you know they did this or this, seeking to put them down or gossip about them. Have you ever noticed that there are sadly many people who will gossip and say hateful and hurtful things about others, but they have never spoken to that person? Never spoken to them. All they've done is passed on something they heard from somebody else. And there may be a whole lot of facts left out of that. And there may be facts that are pretty important left out of that. So the best part of wisdom then is not to be getting into that conversation. Now, you know, you think about them and you hate them. Now I understand. Let's back up one place here. So when you're doing these things, you know that they did this or this and they're seeking to put down or gossip about them. And, you know, they've never spoken to them. They just repeat others' gossip, and this is a wicked and hurtful thing to do. Do you realize here that you're living in unforgiveness? Your bitterness is showing and lack of forgiveness is showing. Now look back at Proverbs chapter 18 with me and look at verse 12. Before destruction, in verse 12, before destruction, the heart of man is what, folks? Haughty. And before honor is what? Humility. Look at verse 13. And remember what I said now last night, you know? He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it's folly and shame unto him. I can hear one person's story over here, and there's a whole lot of details left out. And if I never talk to this person over here, and sometimes there's absolutely no reason for me to be involved in this conversation or one over here. It's none of my business to begin with. Amen? So, but I've heard it over here, you know, and so then I go down and I talk to another person. I say, well, did you hear? Did you hear about them? Some of that may be true. Some of it may not be true. And guess what? I've never, ever talked to this person. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, in a church, there's a need for me to talk to this person and this person because of what's going on. I know some of you may have heard this before. We had two ladies in our church, one of our churches. And we always had cleaning days. You know, you've had cleaning days around here at the church. And we had cleaning days. And so we had an upstairs and downstairs, very similar to this church. And one of the men had dumped a bucket of paint right there in front on the floor. And so, you know, and Kim, realizing that these two ladies didn't really like each other too much, decided that she'd always put one of them down in the basement to work and one of them upstairs to work so they wouldn't be messing with each other. And so they dumped this, and I'm down on my hands and knees. Now, I could get down there then, you know, I can't. But that'd be tough now, you know what I mean? They'd have to get a crane pull me up. So, you know, I'm down there working on it. They walk in the back, right, kind of like yours are. Yours is. And I'm down, and they don't see me down there. And the one lady says to the other lady, she says, you know what? She says, I've got to pray just to tolerate you. And the other woman looks at her and says, well, I'll tell you what, I have to pray every day just to be around you at all. Well, that was ungodly, wasn't it? So I decided that, well, I've seen enough of this and all of, you know, we had handshaking. So they sit on the different sides of the church so they wouldn't have to shake each other's hand. One of them would go to the front, one of them would go to the back, and, you know, they wouldn't even bother. So I thought, you know what? I've seen enough of this. So I stood up. Oh, Pastor, how are you today? Oh, you know, boy, we're getting the church really clean and all of this stuff. And I said, ladies, I just heard what you said. Now, I'd like for both of you to go into my office right now. Now, do you think that was pleasant in there, Pam? No. Wasn't pleasant at all. But I said, now, ladies, this is no way to be acting. This is hurting the cause of Christ. You two ladies are out of fellowship with God. You're grieving the Holy Spirit in your lives and the lives of others. Now, what you need to do right here, right now, is ask each other for forgiveness. Well, you don't know what you did. I said, I don't care what she did. Well, I thought, man, it's hooting like a freight train, you know? It's kind of like my little dog, you know? And I said, look, you two are never going to, your lives are going to be totally messed up here if you don't learn to forgive each other. Now, I want you to look at each other right now and tell each other that you're sorry for this behavior and you're going to ask each other to forgive you. Well, silence. I said, ladies, now we're going to be right with God around here. And I expect you to do so now. I'm sorry. Well, you know, they made sure that they didn't act that way any longer. Praise God. And it did take some work. But, you know, you can live in bondage to a person or you can forgive them. You hear me? You can live in bondage to a person or you can forgive them. You know, you think about them and you hate them. And many times they're just going on their merry way. They could care less that they've hurt you. Then they do not think about it, but you do. And understand you're allowing them to control your life. Have you ever gone to bed at night fretting about what you think someone did or might have done? Yes or no? Ever went to bed at night thinking that? First thing you wake up in the morning, you're thinking about them? Your mind runs off to the junkyard and paranoia takes over? You wake up the next morning and the first thing you think about is them or what they said or did? Let me tell you something. Receive the grace of God. Forgive. Get emotionally free. This is the time you must can take control of your dark side. And because the Holy Spirit indwells you, you now have the power to take control of your dark side, your old nature. Then look at these verses here. Now, Romans 12, and we're going to be done. Romans 12. Now notice, Romans 12 and verse 14. Notice what it says. Bless them which persecute you, bless them and curse not. Bless them that persecute you and curse not. Do you know, and Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We tell our counselees that when a person or situation comes up, stop, think, submit yourself to God, the Holy Spirit. Turn them over to God. Get emotionally free. Let God handle them. Honestly, is there a problem that you have that's too big for God? Ask him to take this problem and leave it with him. Now, you know, all of you have seen this before, my board. Here's God. Here you are. Here's the person who hurts you. Now, I ask you a question. Who's standing between God and the person that hurts you? You are. God wants you to get emotionally free by submitting it to him, turning it over to him, and getting over here on this side. So that God can deal with them without you emotionally messing it up over here. You say, and then every time they come up, Every time what they did comes up. Lord, I want to submit myself to you. I want to turn this over to you. What do you want me to praise you for, thank you for? And it's like, you know, that thought goes away. So you can still be in fellowship with God. Because the moment you submit, you have the Holy Spirit's power. Amen? And greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So rather than let your mind run off to the junkyard and unforgiveness and being ugly and being mean and saying hateful and hurtful things and, oh, they're trash and, oh, they're this and, you know, you don't want to be around them and blah, blah. And all of that may be true. But are you going to live in bondage to them? You have a choice to make. Are you going to let them control your life, or are you going to let the Holy Spirit control your life? Got it? Ask Him to take the problem, leave with Him. Now, forgiveness doesn't mean that I'm dumb. It means I will give this person or situation to God. Lord, I want you to forgive me for having anything in my heart toward them. I want to turn them over to you. I want you to take anything that's in my heart against them out of my heart. I want you to ask for forgiveness, and I want to turn them over to you and let you deal with them. Amen? And you know what? God will take care of that if you get out of the way. I will enjoy my life and relationship with God and others while God deals with them. Amen? You with me, folks? I'll be kind and not angry. Emotionally free. I will live by faith. If you turn that person over to God and continue to turn them over to God, every time they come up, you're living by faith. Look at verse 12 in Romans 12. Now watch what it says. Rejoicing in what, folks? Hope. Remember, that's one of the things God wants you to have. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So when it comes up, I instantly want to give it over to God. Amen? Continuing instant in prayer. Pray for your enemies. Pray for the people who hurt you. Bless them. Be careful that you don't talk evil about them or other people. They may be evil, but your goal here is to have forgiveness in your life and be emotionally free. And when you turn them over to God, you don't have to talk evil about them. Why? Because you don't have to spend your time thinking evil about them. Amen? Amen. Because you've asked God for His forgiveness and have turned them over to Him. Faith means, just like when I got saved, I trusted Jesus Christ by faith to save me. I will now trust Him to deal with the hurts in my life in this way. I will trust Him with the details of my life rather than trying to get back at them. Now, look at this. You'll now be free in a life of forgiveness. His forgiveness and His power. You can have the power of the Holy Spirit work to work in your life when you're emotionally free of your hurts. Notice what God says about it now, and we're done. Look at verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. So here, now listen carefully to me for the next minute. Verse 17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. So here is freedom and forgiveness. Okay? Recompense to no man evil for evil, number one. Verse 17, provide things honest in the sight of all men, number two. Number three is in verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Number four is in verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the wrath. Notice, give place unto the wrath. Wrath means anger with a strong desire to avenge. God, give your desire to avenge to God. Why? Number five, verse 19. For it's written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So if I submit this to God, I forgive them, I get out of the way, Now, I also want to put it to you like this. When you're saying, she's a jerk, and she's awful, she does this, he does that, they're ungodly, they're wicked, they're all those kinds of things, you're taking the place of God. And I guarantee you, you're not God. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So turn it over to God and let him do whatever he wants to do rather than you take the place of God. Y'all with me? All right. Now, last thing. Okay. If you're seeking your own vengeance, you're taking the place of God. Okay, so recompense to no man evil for evil. That's one. Number two, verse 17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Number three, verse 18, if it be possible as much as liveth in you, live peaceably with all men. Number four, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, brethren, your place under wrath. Number five, verse 19, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. What else to do? Number six, verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And verse 21, the last thing, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. If you cannot forgive, you'll be overcome by evil. It'll haunt you, and you'll have a miserable life. Always seek his forgiveness so you can forgive others. Forgiveness is about getting free mentally and emotionally. Situations can be complicated and ugly. Now listen to me. Ugly gets cleaned up one step at a time. Ugly gets cleaned up one step at a time. You know, remember, forgiveness does not mean you put yourself in danger. You can forgive without putting yourself in a position where you're physically abused or emotionally abused or being threatened with physical harm. Because remember, Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Spirit's power work in your life and let God do great and mighty things in your life. Amen? Be a forgiver.